It's so good to be back here again. I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 34. In your bulletin, you have two verses, 18 and 19. But I would like to read a little more than that. Okay, so let me, if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 34. I'm going to pick and choose which I want to use, and then I will concentrate on the ones which we put together there in 18 and 19. Psalm 34. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You know, as I read those passages, it is so exciting for me to read what David is actually talking about. But you know what? A lot of times, as we read that, it seems like he is really happy where he is. He is just praising God, and he is giving thanks to God. At the same time, he addresses the issue of don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because God is with us. You. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Okay. And verses 10 through 15. Okay. If you got it, let me read this to you. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain thousands, and David has tens of thousands. David took these words to heart and was very afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? Why am I reading that passage? The reading of that passage actually is what we get in Psalm 34. He's actually afraid. He is scared of Saul. The people, when it says Gath, it is actually the Philistines, you know. And David fought the Philistines. But when he was afraid, because Saul, King Saul, was trying to kill David. And here in Psalm 34, he's praising God. That doesn't make sense, does it? Your life is at stake. He's coming after you. And David is saying, I will extol the Lord at all times. I will praise always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. I mean, it does not coincide with the way you and I would think. Because we normally, when we get into trouble, when we have problems with our life, when we think financially we are not doing well, guess what we do? We grumble and gripe. Isn't that what we do? At least you may not do that. I do. I can tell you. But I forget all the many blessings he had given me in the past. The life he has given me, the strength he has given me, how he has brought me this far. You know, as I think of it, somebody in the New Testament by the name of Paul said something like this in Philippians chapter 4. What does he say? He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. What is with these people who call themselves godly? They're in trouble and they're saying rejoice. They're in trouble and Paul is actually in prison. And he says, be happy. You know, as I was reading about Paul, the place he was in at that time while he was writing was, it looks absurd. Because he was in a dungeon, almost 35 feet down in a dungeon. And all around him was water leaking into the dungeon. And there he was. And then as I was reading more about the dungeon, it did not really make me want to live in there. Because it says that historians, I'm not saying that's what Paul said, historians say that the dungeon which he was in actually had water seeping through the walls. And the only way to get into that place was a big hole at the top. And people would bring him food and drop it in there for him to eat. And if he doesn't get to it fast enough, rat and mice would grab hold of that food. But I don't get that when I read Philippians chapter 4. Because he's saying, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How could that be? How could you rejoice in a place like that? You know what? It reminds me of people who can do that. Last week, I was at my son's church. It was one of those days which I will cherish for the longest time. I was there, and the pastor shared about this. There was a lady there whom he had met. And that pastor, actually, some of you may know him. He used to be a pastor at Christ Community Church, Pastor Nordstrom, you know. And he was sharing. He lives in Knoxville. And what he does once a week, he drives Uber, which is like a taxi service in town. And he does that not because he needs the money. He does that because he could meet people and share Jesus Christ with them. And one of his trips, as he was taking care, there was a young lady and her sister who got into the car. And as usual, he was making small talk, and it came to the topic of, do you know God? And he found out that they were from Iran. They were running away from the situation, political situation in Iran. And they have come to live in Knoxville. They're two young ladies, you know. And he started to befriend them. He started to share with them what Jesus Christ did for them. And most of us know Iran is not very conducive to Christians, you know. And if they know you're a Christian, you are bound to have difficulties in the country. And these two ladies were talking and sharing, and he was sharing how God loves them. And you know what they did? In the days to come, they decided to call their mom, who lives in Iran, and wanted to share with them what these ladies heard about Jesus. And the mom in Iran said that, "I have heard about Jesus, and I have been reading about it, and I would like to know more." And guess what? By coincidence, right? No. That's God's wisdom. He connected with this pastor, and these two ladies, who are not Christians, are sharing about the love of Jesus Christ far, far away in Iran. And she is so excited reading the Bible. And she tells the ladies, "I want to come to America. And I want to hear more about this Jesus." I'm saying this to you because she knows when she becomes a Christian, she's not going to have an easy life. But she comes here with a visa for 6 months to stay with their daughters. And as she is with them, she's learning more about God. And she gives her life to Jesus Christ. What really surprised me as I was talking to the pastor, and then I was talking to my son, was she told the pastor that she wants to get baptized, knowing fully well when she goes back to Iran, she is going to be in trouble. You know what she did? Last Sunday, she was baptized and we were there. And as I was watching her testimony, she cannot speak in English, so she's talking to her daughter, and daughter is passing it on to us. And she says, "I want to be baptized. I want people to know that I am a Christian." And my son told me, "Dad, as I was listening to that lady, I was crying because this lady is willingly wanting to become a Christian, knowing fully well, shortly when she goes back to Iran, she would be targeted for becoming a Christian." That takes courage. It doesn't come naturally for us. You know what I would have done? I would say, "I don't mind being a Christian, but I don't have to put it up on a pedestal and tell everybody I'm a Christian, because it'll bring me only troubles and problems." I'm being honest with you. It is rough when you live among the people who do not understand what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. This lady, in my books, is like David, because she is praising God. In this story in chapter 34 of Psalms, and in 1 Samuel chapter 15, as I read to you, 21, you know, it shows David is in trouble. David is having a rough time because he was among the people of the Philistine people whom he had fought battles against. And here he is in the middle of them, and he knows what will happen because the Philistines knew who David was, because they said, isn't he the guy people are singing songs about? The one who kills 100,000 people. The Philistines. The Philistine people come to the king and say, you know what? Do you know who you are actually protecting? This is the guy who's killing us. What I'm trying to say is, but the king reports back and says, bring him to me. And he goes before the king and he's drooling. He does not look anything like a king. He says, what can he do? How did that come about? God's protection. God protected him right in the middle of where he was with everything around him. But I can't understand. What is he? He says in verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know what he's saying? He says, you know what? Let's have a fun time. Let's rejoice. Let's have a good time because he is good. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him, in God. Now let's go back to what I wrote in your bulletin. 18 and 19. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That is faith. That is faith. You know, sometimes we wonder about the sufferings we go through. Why is God doing this to me? Why is my health not perfect? Why do I have all these problems with the knees? And when I get up in the morning, I hear the creaking and I know what it is. It's my feet and my knees. You know what? David is not thinking about that. He is trying to say, you know what? That brings me actually closer to God. Because I need to realize, I need to understand, maybe I did something wrong. It's time for me to repent to God. Maybe I need to make sure my reliance is in God. Not in my doctors, not in the people around me, but on God. And then he goes something which is amazing to me, which is amazing to me. As I say this to you, it says, Verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. And I started asking a question, who is a righteous person? What does even righteous mean? So I said, okay, I'd better check this one out. And I went there and it says, the dictionaries define righteousness as a behavior that is morally justifiable or right. Such behavior is characterized by accepted standards of morality, justice, virtue, and uprightness. The Bible standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. You know, when I read that, I'm not there. I'm not there. Only God is righteous. But here I read the righteous person may have troubles. That itself is disturbing because it says if you're good, you're going to have problems. If you're righteous, you're going to have problems. That's what it says. But the next line it says, the Lord delivers him from all of that stuff. So in other words, we need to depend upon God. And then we are righteous. The Bible describes the righteous person is just right in Psalm 33, 18 through 22. Let me read that to you, the very next page. 33, 18 through 22. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in Memorial Hospital. No. In you. In you. It's amazing to me. God's perfection. You know, I get hung up sometimes when because as I read these things, I look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He was righteous, but he was put on the cross for you and me. And he was human at the same time because he had really a hard time. Even in the Gethsemane, as he was there, guess what we read? He was going through pain in Mark chapter 14, verse 35. It says that he was trying to tell God, God, is there any other way so that I don't have to go through this pain? He was suffering. He was in pain. In Matthew 26, 37 through 38, it says, my soul is overwhelmed in sorrow to this point of death. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, it says, in anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Each of those scriptures is telling me he was in pain. Why did he take care of all those pain? Because he loved Shaker Samuel. He loved Effie. He loved my daughter. He loved you because you and I could become righteous because of him. Not because we are good. Because Romans, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is Jesus' righteousness which allows us to be the righteous person David is talking about. If each one of us who is sitting in this place know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he is righteous. You are righteous. I won't walk around saying I'm righteous because I know I'm not. But in Christ I am. In Christ I am righteous because he calls me, I am a prince. I don't look like a prince, do I? But in his eyes, I'm a prince. And you are a prince, you are a princess. And you should be so proud that God does not look out. We look facially or how naturally, but he looks at your heart and says, you know what? You're mine. You're mine. I love you. I love you. And as I read to you from 34, the time is running away. You know what? We need to be like David. I don't know what you're going through in life. Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it is financial. Maybe your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, somebody is going through some tough times. But we can come to chapter 34 in the Psalms and know that I can praise God. I worship God, just like Paul in prison could say, rejoice. We can, because we are sons and daughters of a king. You and I are the prince and princess of a king. One day you and I are going to sit right next to him when he rules righteously. I'm going to look at the side and say, man, how shiny I look. Not because of who I am, it's because of who Jesus is. It really, when I read these verses, when I do this thing, I think how wonderful it is. And so many in the world do not have a clue on what they're missing. Who's going to tell them? Just like Pastor Phil does, we have to do that. That lady, in the next few weeks, is going back to Iran. And she knows she's going to be persecuted. She knows she's going to be ridiculed. But she says, I would be counted for Jesus Christ. That's more important to her because she is going to be sitting on the left-hand side of God himself one day. So she can take what the world can offer. You know, my pastor, I mean, in closing, let me read to you from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. My pastor, when I was going to church in Ohio, used to tell me, Shaker, can you imagine? Read that verse again, he'll say. We both used to sit together in the office, you know. He'll say, read that again for me. And I'll say, I don't see it, what you're talking about. This is verse 23. Okay. They are new every morning. Can you imagine? I'm 73 years old. And he has given me new blessings for the last 73 years. That's amazing. It's not the old blessing. He's given me a new one every single day for 73 years. And multiply that by 365. How many new blessings have I received? You know what? As I walk out of here, I'm going to be walking proud because I am the son of a king. I am a daughter of a king. And he blesses me every single day with a new blessing. He's going to do that with you. Because that's a promise. That's a promise which is given to every Christian. As you walk out, you should walk out saying, wow, my God has promised me. I already got mine today for Sunday. I'll get one tomorrow for Monday. It's brand new. I hope as you walk out of here, you will say to yourself, praise God. Just like David, I can praise him and say, I'm going to get a new blessing.